Welcome back to the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. Final hour here. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you live from the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa on a Saturday. An exciting Saturday. A lot of action on the diamonds to get you started. And then, of course, the RBC Heritage going on. A few hockey games going on right now. Pittsburgh has extended its lead over the Buffalo Sabres. Now 3-1 just underway in the final third period there in Buffalo. Pittsburgh well entrenched in the playoff race in the East Division. Buffalo, of course, bringing up the rear and will not figure into the playoff picture this year. But Pittsburgh being hard-pressed by the Boston Bruins, so every game is certainly important for them. Also in the NBA, your Saturday card is underway in Los Angeles, and you've got the Los Angeles Lakers hosting the Utah Jazz. This game went off with Los Angeles in the role of the favorite. A lot of players sitting out for rest reasons and, of course, injury as well. They closed as about 1.5 or 2-point favorites, did the Lakers, and right now they are currently trailing Utah 24-23, just under 3 minutes left to go in the first quarter there, Wes. This game, I'm guessing you did not do anything with it, but almost unbettable because the line was in such flux when all these players were announced that they weren't going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, currently at BetMGM, as the Lakers take a 1-point lead, about 2.5 left to go in the first quarter at Staples Center. Lakers minus 1.5, 224.5. Now the total, this did close, I believe, at around 215, 215.5, depending on your store, 215.5 at BetMGM. So an overpace at least here early, and that's where I kind of leaned, because when you have these guys, I always maintain that usually the offense can be made up for in a game. Maybe not so much the defense. So you're seeing these two teams shooting the ball very well to start the game. 28-26, 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
Well, for more NBA discussion, let's bring in our man. It is Jonathan Von Tobel. He is VSiN's senior NBA analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at @MeJVT. Also, check out his podcast, The Hardwood Handicappers. John, happy Saturday to you. I was going to ask you this same question, and I will now. Thank you very much for joining us. The Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Lakers kick off your Saturday schedule in the NBA, but this is a pretty tough game to bet because there was so much change as far as who was in the lineup, who was going to play. We saw Utah as a 5-point road favorite, and here by the time we got everything figured out on who was going to be on the floor, the Lakers closed as a short favorite.
Some spots opened up 8.5.
Wow.
In favor of Los Angeles on the road. So, and those are quick, you know, overnight openers, and then you get all the injury reports, and that's why the limits are low early on the overnights. But, yeah, it was pretty funny tracking, and I was actually texting with Doug Kazarian earlier today, too, of ESPN, about the game, and we were going back and forth like, oh, yeah, this guy's out. Oh, yeah, this guy's out. Oh, yeah, and then one more. So, like, hey, there's a lot better games to spend the tax income on, you know?
And speaking of one of those games, John, the other primetime game tonight, that will be Golden State and Boston. Golden State getting a little bit of the money, now down to 3.5 at BetMGM. There's also some fours out there in the market. Jaylen Brown, questionable to go, it looks like, for Boston. Both these teams have been hot as of late, and Golden State has really been on fire in terms of their scoring. Steph Curry just putting up tremendous numbers, really having to carry this team. Doesn't have the shooters around him that he usually does, but keeping them in it, and they're 500 right now. Market is supporting them. I think it's a lot of the Jaylen Brown injury, but what do you make of this matchup with Boston? I think, you know, not considered right now in terms of that pecking order with Brooklyn and Philly and Milwaukee, but now all of a sudden they're finally healthy, except for the fact Brown's questionable, but they've had their guys play together the last few games, and wouldn't you know, they're starting to win.
Yeah, when you look at West, when you look at Boston, there's a couple of things that have stuck out, right? And both of these teams you mentioned, 5-1 straight up against spread last six for the Warriors. Boston, 7-1 straight up, 5-2-1 against the spread their last eight. But I have questions for both of them, right? Like for Boston, for example, their defense, which has been really inconsistent, started to really turn things around the last few games, especially when you look at that West Coast trip that they just went on. But over a longer stretch, 107.4 points every 100 possessions allowed. But of their eight opponents, five of them, 19th or lower in offensive efficiency. You get another one in the 20s today in the Golden State Warriors. So how real is that defensive turnaround? Like, you get credit for doing it, but, you know, you want to see you do it against better competition. And the Warriors as a whole have been a poor offensive team, but you mentioned Curry. How about the six-game stretch that they're on? He's averaging 39.8 points per game, 57.4% from the floor. He's shooting 51% on 14 three-point attempts per game. Like, he's been insane. But my worry is, for the season, we've seen the Golden State Warriors be a poor offensive team, and he's going through an insanely hot stretch. I feel like you're just kind of relying on him to continue this, and if he has one off night, it could lead to a pretty poor offensive showing for Golden State. So if you like Golden State, I'd say wait till the Jaylen Brown news. If he's going to play, you're going to get a better number. The line's going to move in that direction. And if you like Boston, I mean, it's the toughest situation, right? Because if he plays, you're going to be laying a number here. It'd be a good number. But if he doesn't, you're going to be laying a number now, and you're going to be stuck with a bad one. So I would just lay off from that perspective. But I thought the market was correct and kind of moving in this direction. I think I will probably see this close probably like four and a half.
Yeah, and for the most part, that run that Steph has been on, John, has been lesser opponents, lesser than Boston. So it may come to an end here tonight against a pretty class opponent in the Celtics.
Yeah, no, it totally could, right? I mean, just considering everything, when you're reliant on one player's performance, it is more than likely going to come to an end than the other team that's been playing, you know, relatively better as a team as a whole. So, and look, I think Boston, West to West's point when he was talking about this, there is like this growing sense that maybe they're kind of getting back to like the team that we thought could potentially be for another Eastern Conference Finals berth. I still think the construction of their roster kind of leaves some flaws, right? Especially in the front court against some bigger bodies. You know, Joel Embiid, the Philadelphia 76ers, a terrible matchup for him. Like those kind of things, I think ultimately hold them back. But you know, I think they're a matchup nightmare for like a Milwaukee in the first round. So there's a chance they make some noise in the big picture.
The streak remains alive, by the way. Wes Reynolds has never seen Emiliano Grillo make a putt. He just missed another one there, and
but Stuart Sink is making plenty now. 18 under par, 6-shot lead over Colin Morikawa.
John, let's get to a game that is a little less sexy, but certainly interesting, and possibly from a betting perspective as well. And that is a 5 p.m. Pacific tip, 8 p.m. Eastern, between the Cavaliers and the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. And the Bulls have lost five straight. They're now in the 11 hole in the Eastern Conference, and of course that's one game shy of getting into the play-in round. They'll host the Cavaliers, who seem to show up in the oddest of places and get a win here and there. Now they have only won three out of their last 10, but as I mentioned, Chicago, losers of five straight and in the role of the favorite here. You doing anything of this one?
No, I'm not. And you know, what this team Chicago has been, Brady, like they've been really head scratching to me, but they are starting to kind of take the shape, at least from like the way their numbers are coming out, to take the shape of the team that I kind of expect them to be after the trade deadline, which is like from an offensive standpoint, you know, the offensive ratings for their last two games, 114, 117.8. They had a really bad game against Memphis offensively, but then them win over Minnesota, 119.4. So those are relatively decent offensive ratings, but their defense has been atrocious. And so I was kind of expecting this to take shape, but I did think that they were going to be a little bit more competitive. You know, I thought they were a pretty good look to make like a playoff bet on, right? Yes, no, to make the playoffs, but they really haven't been that. And so I think when you look at it just from the perspective of the way they've been playing, you mentioned the Cavaliers and, you know, every once in a while showing up. They're actually on a pretty good stretch of basketball right now, right? Before they lost to Golden State, they had won, they had covered four out of five games. So I think it's just at a point with Chicago where, given the status of where they're at with their players and the absences, I just don't know if I'm comfortable laying points with them, given how bad they've been defensively, you know?
Yep, I hear you.
John, the final game, the nightcap on the NBA slate, I kind of thought a little bit interesting here. Phoenix hosting San Antonio. Phoenix still trying to chase down Utah to get that number one seed in the West. And when we were talking on My Guys this week, we were talking about Phoenix, and I think we kind of reached a little bit of a consensus that, hey, this might be a team that's good enough to win a series in the playoffs, but still not a lot of playoff tread on those tires really going forward. So I don't think a lot of people put Phoenix on that. Can they get out of the West with like the Clippers and the Jazz and whatnot? But tonight's game, laying 9.5, there's some tens also in the market. This is now the getaway game for Phoenix. And I know NBA is more orientated toward handicapping numbers and whatnot. Maybe not as much like college basketball where you get a lot of spots. But this is kind of a spot play, I guess, if you want to look to go against Phoenix, because they've all of a sudden got that 5-game road trip to start this week, very late in the season, the Eastern road trip where they're going to get Milwaukee, Philly, Boston, Brooklyn, and the Knicks back to back over a little bit, maybe like an 8 or 9 day span. So getaway game for Phoenix. Any interest on the San Antonio side here?
Yeah, I think there would be, Wes. And if you look at the Suns, even outside of the spot that you're talking about, right, from looking ahead to their schedule, you know, it's been pretty clear that at least from their power rating perspective with the market, they kind of reached their plateau. You know, they're 11-1 in their last 12 games, but the team, they're 6-6 against the spread over that stretch. And their numbers are great, right? Like, through those 12 games, they're outscoring opponents by 10.1 points over 100 possessions. Like, they're not really showing many cracks. It's just that the market has a lot of respect for them, which they rightfully should. That, you know, they're just having trouble covering the numbers that they're laying. So I even think from that perspective, too, you've kind of reached the point where it's more fortuitous to kind of take some overloaded numbers against the Phoenix Suns. So I would agree with that thinking on top of looking at it from that schedule perspective. Now, I will say, San Antonio, they have kind of started to break down a little bit. You know, in the second half, there were two teams that I thought were really due for tough second halves. It was the New York Knicks, which has been completely wrong. They've been fantastic. The other was the San Antonio Spurs because of the nature of their schedule. And I think the relatively fraudulent defense. Last two games, 114.9 defensive rating. They're 24th since the second half started in defensive efficiency. That would be the thing that kind of worries me with San Antonio, Wes. But I would agree generally with that thinking that the side I would rather be on would be San Antonio given everything else.
John, you and I spoke about the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Dallas Mavericks earlier this week on the Lombardi line. And, you know, obviously that was an interesting game with a team in the seventh hole and then also Memphis currently in the eighth spot in the Western Conference. Well, the Grizzlies are still in that eighth spot. So right now would be in the play-in round. They will be taking on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, who, oddly enough, just 3.5 games out of first place in the Eastern Conference. It seems like they're the team nobody is talking about right now. They've won three in a row. They're laying 8 points at a big total here. And Wes talked about this. When Giannis is out of the lineup, they give up a lot on defense. Your total at 237.5. Did you do anything with this one?
No, and looking at the injury report for the Milwaukee Bucks, too, when you look at it, you know, last time we saw Milwaukee was against Atlanta. Obviously, Giannis comes back, they perform a little bit better. Right now, it looks like you're going to get Giannis on the floor, so you're getting like this relatively big number here, 8.5, 238. And when you look at it from like that perspective, I think when you look at Milwaukee numerically, I think they match up relatively well with Memphis. There was a game right before the All-Star break, if I remember, right after. But regardless, they were playing Memphis. And it was actually a matchup where the Bucks, Brady, went out to like a 13-14, might even been like 17 first quarter lead, right? But they start to break down. They only hit one three-point shot in the second half, and it kind of falls off. I feel like I see that first half matchup again. Like, some of you, when you look at some of the numbers, you know, Memphis likes to operate inside. They really operate in that short mid-range, 4 to 14 feet. Giannis in the Bucks, great cutting off the restricted area. So from that perspective, it doesn't really work. The Grizzlies are not a really good three-point shooting team, which is what you need to do to exploit Milwaukee. So I think all of that said, it looks like a really poor matchup for the Grizzlies. But Memphis is just not a team I've been able to figure out. Like, their offense has been better as of late. Their three-point shooting has been better. But like this might be the team that I have the worst record betting on or against, because I just can't really figure out what this team is on a night-to-night basis.
Quick score update here. Lakers 37-35 early second quarter here at Staples Center in the afternoon matinee. Lakers, by the way, -2.5 currently at BetMGM. 229.5 on the in-game total, about 15 points higher than it closed. And, John, let's go to the Lakers now. When you're looking at the futures market, and obviously there at least has been a small drift because the Lakers are about a 500 team, even though the defense has been very good. The offense has not been so good without LeBron and AD, of course, in the lineup, which would beg the question, and I mean, which is obvious that that would happen. But do you think in terms of the futures market, because we know out here in Las Vegas, the Lakers, because they're such a big name team, are going to get enough money on the futures market preseason. Do you think it's drifted enough if bettors maybe have not gotten involved at this point in terms of NBA championship futures or Western Conference futures? Is it still lacking in the value standpoint if you want to get on the Lakers at this point?
Yeah, and actually, Wes, you know, you and I talked about it during the week. I actually think the one spot where you might look in terms of value in any of the futures, if you haven't gotten involved yet, right, at this point, would just be from, like, purely a number standpoint. If you look at a couple of spots, the Philadelphia 76ers are the third choice to win the Eastern Conference, like plus 450. That's weird to me. You know, that's a little odd. So I would say that is the one where, if I'm looking at it, that or – I don't know if I was on the air or if I did this on the podcast. Every day melts together. But, you know, like the Los Angeles Clippers are a team I'm starting to come around on a little bit more, right? Like when it comes to their three-point shooting, they've been absolutely fantastic all year long. In the second half, they've developed into a better defensive team. I think they're eighth right now in defensive efficiency post All-Star break. They have been performing really well, and that has been despite injuries, right? Patrick Beverley handed your procedure out for about up to 5 weeks. Serge Ibaka has missed, I think, now 18, 17 games. Like they're doing it despite being beat up. Real toe injury, by the way, for Paul George. But as they slowly start to get things together, you know, that's a team that, kind of like last year, going into the postseason, all season long, I thought they were going to be the best team in the West, and in the NBA, it didn't really work out. But they're starting to take the shape kind of the team that you saw a little bit near the end of the regular season last year, and that's kind of tempting, you know?
John, thank you very much. As always, enjoy the rest of the NBA card for your Saturday, and we encourage the listeners to go to VSiN.com/podcast for the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right, John. That is Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst. Currently, the Lakers and the Jazz underway for the early game in the NBA. We've got about five more games to go on your Saturday night NBA card. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the rest of the baseball games going down, get you updated on the scores as we continue here on the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. On this week's edition of Hardwood Handicappers, JVT reacts to the news of LaMarcus Aldridge's sudden retirement and its effect on Brooklyn's chances to win a title before assessing the recent run of the Boston Celtics. Could Beantown be back? Plus an update to ESPN NBA analyst Tim Bontemps' MVP straw poll. Has JVT waving the white flag on James Harden MVP candidacy? We will see. Check it out. The Hardwood Handicappers podcast at VSiN.com/podcast. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM, and want to take a look at some action on the ice. If you're thinking about betting some NHL, we've got some coming up here pretty quick. At the top of the hour, it'll be the St. Louis Blues taking on the Arizona Coyotes, and this is kind of the tale of two interesting teams here, Wes. Arizona really fighting for a playoff spot, that fourth and final spot in the West Division, and St. Louis, I mean, it was pointed out very early by Andy McNeil, our hockey expert here at VSiN, one of his early articles in Point Spread Weekly, that he felt the Blues were really a fade team. And they've had hot stretches, and then they've had absolute cold stretches. But here they are taking on the Coyotes tonight, a minus 140 favorite. And I don't know, it's very difficult for me to bet this team, the St. Louis Blues, and especially in the role of a favorite here tonight on the road.
That would be my lean here, would be the Blues. They're currently 1 point ahead of the Yotes, basically, for the last playoff spot. Arizona is going south in a hurry. 0-5, have not won a game in five straight. And their offense has really been one of the reasons for that. 23rd in goals a game, but their defense is usually very good. Yeah. But they don't have the offensive firepower, I think, necessarily to make up for subpar goaltending. Darcy Kemper's been out since February, so the backup duo just has not been able to be good enough to really help out their offense, which lacks. And now you're seeing with St. Louis, one of the reasons I think Andy McNeil and so many others were down on St. Louis, Vladimir Tarasenko was out basically for most of the season, but now he's been back. He's got 6 points in his last eight games. So David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly have really had to do the heavy lifting for this St. Louis Blues team. But kind of the story, and he's been a little up and down this season, is Jordan Binnington. Of course, we remember him from his run to the Stanley Cup in 2020. 2019, leads all goalies in the NHL this month in terms of the mark of what is called goal saved above expectation, a mark of plus 5.31. So he has started to come along. I think the Blues are the more talented team, and I think that they're going to get this playoff spot. Little bit of a price to add. It opened 130, now at 145 at BetMGM. Price probably keeps me out of it, but I do believe the Blues are the right side here.
4 o'clock Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, the Panthers and the Lightning, a real good one out of the Central Division of the NHL, and the two teams at the top, both out of Florida, of course. This one will take place in Tampa Bay. Earlier this week, these two teams went to overtime, and the Lightning got the win despite a relatively poor performance. Now, they are minus 160 favorites again tonight, your total 5.5.
Yeah, and these two teams, right along with Carolina, are battling for that top spot in the division here, and they've kind of been doing it all season. Looks like Nashville starting to pull away a little bit from that four spot. I was trying to check to see who the goaltenders were in fact going to be for this matchup tonight. I believe they've already announced them between Florida and Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay getting the money at least so far off the opener, minus 160 currently at BetMGM. And Price looks about right to me in this spot, Brady. I think with these two teams that battled and been so close all season, Tampa Bay's goaltending a little bit more reliable when Vasilevsky is in the net, 26-6 basically this season in terms of his starting. Bobrovsky and Dreiger have basically split the duties for Florida. So, and Bob's been a little bit more in terms of he's gotten more of the starts. He's their number one goalie, but Dreiger's had the best goals against average and a better save percentage, so probably will continue to split. It is Bob and Vasilevsky that are going to go in between the pipes tonight, so nothing for me.
Just about 5.5 minutes left between the Sabres and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Pittsburgh hanging on to a 3-2 lead there. Buffalo trying to tie this one up and send it into extra hockey. Also coming up at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, your aforementioned Hurricanes and Predators, Wes. The Predators just about firmly into the fourth spot there in the conference for that final playoff spot. The Hurricanes really battling with Florida and Tampa Bay for the top spot. Hurricanes minus 175 with a total of 5.5. You doing anything with this one?
Yeah, I do kind of like the Predators here. They did lose to this Carolina team on Thursday 4-1, but 13-4 over the last 17 games. Predators starting to pull away to try to get that fourth spot. They've been battling with Chicago and those guys and look like they're pulling away a little bit. I thought this was a big number on Nashville.
All right, the time has come to get your thoughts on some of the NFL draft props, Mr. Reynolds. We'll do that on the other side right here inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. With all the spring sports betting action you need, the VSiN experts are staying ahead of the game. The best place to start is VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, the NHL, and the NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While you're there, get all the latest Vegas odds, check out our bet tracker and parlay calculator tools, read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory, and you can also listen to all of our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com, and while you're there, check out our subscription options starting at just $22 a month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM, and we want to take a look at the NFL draft prop market. Of course, coming out shortly will be the VSiN NFL draft betting guide. That's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody contributing some of their thoughts, and Wes, that's where I want to head now, get some of your thoughts on this. I think we know know who is going to be the first pick. And if the odds are any indication, we also know who's going to be the second pick. Looks like Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson will go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the New York Jets will pick up Zach Wilson out of BYU. The draft really starts and the questions begin to get real with the third pick, currently owned by the San Francisco 49ers. And Justin Fields has moved into the position of the favorite. It was Mac Jones for a long time, the quarterback out of Alabama, but now the young man of Ohio State tops the odds board here at BetMGM at minus 140 to fill that third spot for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, that seems where the market is going. And obviously, look, I think a lot was made out of the fact that, okay, they didn't go to Fields' pro day and they went to Mac Jones's, so everybody reacts to that. But look, these agents or these GMs and these coaches, rather, they go ahead and they can always have an extra meeting to see a player, see a guy work out. I mean, if you're talking this high in the draft, they're going to make that extra trip. So maybe that was much ado about nothing on the initial report. So I don't know where they're going to go. It looks like they're going to go with Fields. Clearly, they're going to go with quarterback. So then when you evaluate it, maybe where the draft really starts or gets a little bit more of a mystery is in terms of number four, where Atlanta is. Atlanta's kind of stuck in that untenable position of where there's not a lot of teams that I think really feel they need to trade up to four necessarily to get a quarterback. Now, are you going to trade up to get a receiver or one of the two offensive linemen that are probably going in the top 10? I don't know. But Atlanta, I think if they hold that pick, they're going to keep Kyle Pitts, or they're going to go with Kyle Pitts there, because Atlanta, I think, needs to eventually get a quarterback to replace Matt Ryan. I don't think the urgency is there to do it right now, considering how many moved in free agency and also via trade when you had Goff and Stafford essentially get traded for each other with a lot of different picks and different money involved. So I don't know if Atlanta really needs to do the quarterback. So maybe they go with Pitts or they go with another offensive lineman. Then it gets intriguing to see, okay, which of these teams in that 5-7 range may trade down. And you got to think, you know, Cincinnati's not going to go quarterback. So I think more than likely they could go with Ja'Marr Chase as a receiver and pair the former LSU teammates, Burrow and Chase. And then in terms of six, does Miami trade down, even though there's some offensive linemen available? Penny Sewell and basically Rashawn Slater, the consensus two top linemen. Slater's getting a lot more buzz. So you want to see where these trades are. Maybe the Lions are a candidate to trade down. Maybe the Carolina Panthers are to trade down. Does Denver want to go ahead and draft a quarterback? Because Lance and probably Mac Jones, assuming Mac Jones doesn't go three, they're going to slip down a few picks. So it's not going to be what we thought, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, the first four picks of the draft. So somebody's going to slip, and then maybe you get somebody to trade up to get in that spot. So that's where the interest, I think, is going to be, who is going to be trading up for these quarterbacks.
And the streak is still alive, Mr. Reynolds. Emiliano Grillo misses another putt there to remain at 12 under par and six back of Stewart Cink. Colin Morikawa has now moved into second place. He's at 13 under par, and he is done with his round. So he's the leader in the clubhouse, five shots back off of Stewart Cink, who is currently playing the 16th hole out there at the RBC Heritage. Now, I think you bring up an interesting point. I actually like the bet of Kyle Pitts going in a higher draft position than 5.5.
Yeah.
Okay, because we know four out of the first five picks, we know what's going to happen. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, we know the 49ers are going to take a quarterback, and we know that the Cincinnati Bengals are likely, in my opinion, to take an offensive lineman. They absolutely have to
Absolutely, or they could take a receiver. I think Chase and Pitts could be landing spots for Cincinnati, depending on what Atlanta does or doesn't do with the number four pick. Lineman would make the most sense, obviously, protect your asset here. But
yeah, I mean, if they don't protect him, and we saw what happened to him last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you go run out and get him more weapons before you put a wall around him and protect this poor kid. But my point is, you're getting plus money on Kyle Pitts to go at a higher position than 5.5. And you really only have to worry about the Falcons. And the Falcons, I think what they're going to do is probably trade that pick to somebody that wants a quarterback. I just think, again, I think it's a good bet to make because you pretty much have a good idea of what's going to happen with four out of the five choices. And if he drops to Miami at number six, you win your bet.
Yeah, and currently at BetMGM, 5.5, pretty much an even straddle, maybe about 5 cents juice to the under. So I do think Pitts, a lot of people probably will have him based on just, you know, when you rank best available player, not necessarily by need on your board. There are some that will have Kyle Pitts maybe in the top three. If you assume if everybody rates Lawrence one, Kyle Pitts could be as high as number two in terms of best overall player on many of these teams' boards.
No, you're right. And you also talked about Atlanta. You thought they might go tight end. And I argue the same thing. Matt Ryan has been sacked an awful lot the last few seasons.
And they've tried to draft linemen, and they haven't been able to keep him healthy. They got the kid out of BC, the kid out of Washington, McNary. They've both battled some injuries early on. So could be a lineman there. I do think that they like Kyle Pitts, though. That's kind of the consensus I've been hearing. But the consensus we often hear on these draft things are not always true, because there's always some smoke screens and the like put out there.
I mean, it might be a little bit of an embarrassment of riches, but they've already got Hayden Hurst there. Do you add Kyle Pitts as well? You know, I mean, that'd be a nice, a nice luxury. But again, I think their problems are in different areas.
Yeah, and you certainly see it. BetMGM, if they decide to go offensive lineman, that is 12-1. Sewell and Slater, I think both are consensus top 10 picks.
The Chicago Cubs still leading the Atlanta Braves. Now the top of the ninth inning, Atlanta down to their last hope here, trailing 13-4. St. Louis and Philadelphia. Philadelphia made a little bit of noise in the bottom of the third inning, but St. Louis comes right back. Arenado gets a home run for the Redbirds. 9-3 right now, St. Louis on top of Philadelphia. And Boston and Chicago now all tied up at 2 apiece in the bottom of the fourth inning from Fenway. We'll wrap up the program next here on the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Stick with us at VSIN. Basketball, baseball, or hockey with a risk-free bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the Green Zone. Final segment here with Wes Reynolds and Brady Cannon. Next up, it'll be the VSIN Bet Center with Jeff Parles and our man from the Diamonds, Josh Towers, to break down all the betting angles on the Major League Baseball card for your Saturday night. And Wes, we do have an update in the NBA, your Saturday card, the nightcap game between the San Antonio Spurs and the Phoenix Suns. We've seen some line movement here, and you know why this is happening.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan going to be out tonight, averaging 21 a game for the San Antonio Spurs. Trey Lyles was already ruled out with an ankle. A couple other guys, Jakob Poeltl and also Patty Mills, going to be out for San Antonio tonight. So there kind of might have went my interest with San Antonio. I did think this was a good spot to play against the Suns, but now 11.5, the current adjusted number. Seeing the total is low in the market, it's still being adjusted across the platforms and all the books as we speak. But 224.5 I'm seeing as the low on the total. This was 229 on the opener. So Spurs going to rest guys here. And Phoenix, look, not saying I just want to go bet Phoenix. It's probably one I'm going to leave alone if I like the side, because now 11.5, keep in mind, this is the getaway game before that East Coast road trip where they play five playoff teams, pretty much five consecutive games starting on Monday in Milwaukee. So I still don't want to lay it with Phoenix, but this probably reduced my interest in betting the San Antonio Spurs.
And you also have an update on the ice. They'll drop the puck here in just about 15 minutes, the Arizona Coyotes and the St. Louis Blues. And there's going to be a guy between the pipes that we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen him since March 8th. Darcy Kemper, the usual starting goaltender for the Arizona Coyotes, going to go ahead and be in net tonight. And seeing a little bit of late money on that news with the Coyotes, currently plus 120 at BetMGM, but starting to see some like 115s emerge in the market as well. Getting bet a little bit too at under 5.5. It's used to be under minus 120 at BetMGM. Seeing even some under 130s in the market.
All right, let's take a look at some of the late baseball on your Saturday card and a couple of good matchups here. We'll start with the Dodgers and the Padres. What a game on Friday night. I mean, the atmosphere. Wes, we haven't seen an atmosphere like that and all this COVID stuff. I mean, obviously, we didn't have any fans last year. Some limited fans around the major leagues this year, but that was a wild party at Petco last night.
That was the first, by the way, I believe, of 19 meetings between the Dodgers and the Padres. And if we get 18 more like that, that is definitely must-see TV going forward. And they'll hook it up again tonight, Kershaw and Darvish. And look, we already had one bench clearing. Last night, are we going to get 18 more? We got to have one per game now between these two teams. There's some heat between these teams. And even with some of the fans, I think it was the 10th inning when the benches cleared and the Padres bullpen, of course, the bullpen, all the guys got to run in, show some support for their teammates. The funniest part was just this random fan just running with the Padres bullpen last night. Like, he's ready to go. I mean, California has been very strict on the lockdown, and I know there were empty seats you could see last night. It seemed like there were 30 or 40,000 people just with the noise.
It was electric.
These folks were making. So Darvish and Kershaw going tonight. Kershaw has been bet against a little bit now. I think he opened about $1.30, now seeing $1.20 at BetMGM and even some 115s. Total's gone down from 7.5 to 7. This might be one where I kind of like the over, but I want to wait a little bit to see if I can get something on the end game, because both these teams, when you go extra innings, you used a lot of your pitching staff last night.
The Padres, it was kind of a bullpen effort from the start anyway.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at how many were used last night. For the Dodgers, I believe they used 7 pitchers, I want to say.
I was going to say 8 or so for the Padres.
Yeah, the Dodgers, Jansen blew the save, and then Santana came in for an inning of work. David Price with 2 innings, 4 strikeouts, very good effort. Nice to have a former Cy Young guy random spot in the bullpen. And the San Diego Padres, as you said, Brady, because Weathers only went 3 1/3, his first starter usually comes out of the bullpen. Yes, he did. 10 pitchers for the Padres last night. Hill was actually the loser, so he goes to 0-2. He was the one that drew the short end of the straw and had that Dodgers number one lineup in all of Major League Baseball go ahead and plate 5 runs in the top of the 12. You look at it 11-6, that didn't indicate how competitive and how close this game was and how dramatic it was for second week of the season. We're mid-April, getting that kind of drama.
It was just out of nowhere. I really had a great time watching that ball game. And Mike Piranio made a good point. You know, for that fan base to be so geeked up for the Dodgers and then for them to lose in extra innings, you know, they make the comeback and then still can't get over the hump to beat this behemoth of a team that is the LA Dodgers. That's a tough one to get back up off the mat for tonight, but Kershaw and Darvish must see TV once again.
I do lean with the in-game over if you can find it. Assume it starts a little bit slow. Kershaw, obviously, he is pitching like a real estate agent would say, location, location, location. He does not walk a lot of guys, only averages about 0.5 walk per every 9 innings, but he's not striking out a lot of guys either, about 7.7 per 9 innings. The velo is obviously down, so Kershaw, but he hasn't been really hittable. He's allowed 1 run on 9 hits over 13 innings. 14 Ks still good. I mean, he's not doing the double-digit strikeouts a game like he used to, so we shall see what happens there. Darvish, better the second time around, 3.49 on the ERA. Strikeout rate's a little bit down from last year. I don't have enough to say, okay, there's a lot of regression on Darvish. He has lost a little velocity on that cutter and that four-seamer and is now 34 years old, but I'd wait a little bit, maybe try to get the in-game over, because I think you're going to get some tired bullpens here late.
Just up the street in Anaheim, California, 6:07 Pacific, 9:07 Eastern. It'll be the Angels hosting the Minnesota Twins. Angels are 8-5 on the year and off of a win. And how about the Minnesota Twins bringing up the rear in the AL Central, but still only two games out of first place, a real packed house there in the AL Central. The Angels and Twins about a pick'em game here in Southern California with a total of 9.
Yeah, Twins got knocked around 10-3 last night, and they actually had one of their position players, Astudillo, who threw like a 46 mile an hour pitch.
Seven pitches. Side.
I was like, three up, three down. I tweeted that video out. I'm like, take that, Bauer. How about that? Three up, three down on seven pitches. But yeah, it was like the ultimate. I'm like, that's my favorite player, man. This fat guy that's an outfielder just throwing these moon balls up there, but they're swinging at him and lining out to third pretty much every single time. Two pretty good offenses here, so would lean a little bit to the over here, because it is we're starting to see a little bit of juice to the over, even though it's 9 minus $1.10 pretty much where it opened at BetMGM. Small lean a little bit to Matt Shoemaker as well, because Quintana, I think he's going to have positive regression. You can only regress to the positive when your ERA is 16.2, but a couple rough starts. Shoemaker, the former Halo, going back to Anaheim to face his old team. So lean a little bit to the over. I think the offenses get going here.
And here's a reverse of roles here. The Astros at the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners are in first place, and the Astros have lost 6 straight. We didn't expect that, right? So a little role reversal for these two teams, but they will meet in Seattle this evening. Seattle obviously off to a great start. They've won 3 in a row. The Astros on a real skid right now, having lost 6 straight, yet they are the favorite. Zach Greinke toeing the rubber for the Houston Astros. He'll take on Flexen and the Mariners, and the Astros here at BetMGM minus 125 West with a total of 8.5.
Yeah, a little bit of money for Seattle, and not surprisingly, considering the Astros have a little bit of some COVID issues right now with Martin Maldonado, Alex Bregman, Jordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, Robel Garcia, all on the 10-day injured list due to being in quarantine. So Astros not really showing the potency at the dish that they were to start the season. Small lean to the over here. I think it's been now accounted for in the market in terms of all these guys being out. So would lean a little bit. It's now over 8.5, but you still see some eights juice to the over, $1.20, $1.25, and that'd be where I'd go here.
How about the Ottawa Senators, Wes? I just noticed here they are just underway, less than 2 minutes of action against the Montreal Canadiens, and Ottawa is already out in front 2-0, under 18 minutes left to go in the first period. The Senators went off as, what were they, about plus 180 underdogs?
Yeah, they got the money in the overnight. Montreal has really been the disappointment for me. I thought they were going to be very sneaky contender. I thought the Maple Leafs were the best team in that North All-Canadian division for this NHL season, and they certainly have been, but Montreal has not impressed, and plus that division is a little bit down. You've got a couple teams. Vancouver is down. Ottawa is down. So you question how far some of these Canadian teams like Winnipeg, like Toronto, like Montreal, like Edmonton, how far they can go in the playoffs, being that they pretty much played each other all season in this division, and that looks like the weakest division in all of the NHL.
All right, real quick here. Two hockey games coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Sharks at the Wild, the Blue Jackets at the Stars. And are you on any of that? And is it going to be the Stuart Sink wire-to-wire job at Hilton Head?
I am not on either. Lean to the under in the Columbus-Dallas game. And look, Colin Morikawa in the house at 13 under. Stuart Sink playing the 18. I think he's going to hang on. 5-shot lead, even with these good chasers behind him, a lot to overcome.
Similar to Hideki Matsuyama's 4-stroke advantage at the Masters last Sunday, Stuart Sink with a big lead heading into Sunday at Hilton Head. We're headed into the VSiN Bet Center with Jeff Parles and Josh Towers. Keep it here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.